But if not, Dunkirk was a very average movie about a tremendous account of bravery in World War II, in which hundreds and hundreds of British citizens, with every little boat and yacht they had, sailed to the beach of Dunkirk in France to evacuate over 300,000 Allied troops. But a story behind the rescue mission is left untold in the movie. That facing certain destruction after France had fell and trapped by the German forces, the British naval officers called a distress signal back to London. It was a three-word code. Simple but urgent. But if not. If you don't recognize it, you're not alone. Thankfully, in 1940, the British were still biblically literate, and they understood what those three words were hearkening to in sacred scripture and the message that they were sending them, the coded message that they were sending them. Those three words come from the story in the third chapter of Daniel. Just before the verses that we sang in our responsorial this morning. And you know of the story. It's the three Jewish youth, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who defy the edict of the king Nebuchadnezzar to worship this golden idol in this image of himself that he had set up. And they refused, and so the king had the fiery furnace fired up seven times as hot as normal. And he told them, if you refuse to bow and worship this image, this golden image, this idol, you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they told him, if this be so, they cried, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hands, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up. So with those three words, but if not, the British forces sent a cryptic flare with the two messages that they were in immediate peril, and that even if they were faced with imminent death, they would not give up because they had faith in God. Do you see those two parts of it, though? Because what happens in the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you remember, they're thrown into the fiery furnace, and what happens? They don't burn within it. Instead, when the soldiers go and look in the furnace, they say there's not just three, but there appears to be four people in there. And one of them appears as the Son of God. That God was with them in the midst of it. And so these two things, they're saying, even if faced in the most dangerous circumstance, like you're at the edge of this cliff and you're surrounded on all sides and you're going to be pushed over, this confident faith in being able to say, God is with us, and he will deliver me from this fate. But if not, if they push me over this cliff, I will remain faithful, because I will not perish. It will not perish. This was the faith that they were invoking. But if not, we will remain faithful because we know our God. He will save us from perishing. And then what we sang in the responsorial was soon after they had been delivered from this fiery furnace, they give this incredible hymn of praise to God. Blessed be you, Lord. Glory and praise forever.
the whole thing, page 197. They give praise to God, blessing his name, blessing his faithfulness, blessing his praiseworthy faithfulness to them in the midst of all great danger. The reading we have from Exodus, this was the danger that the Israelites faced when they were brought out of Egypt, and they were sitting there as Moses went up the mountain, Mount Sinai, to receive the law. Moses went up the mountain, and he was engulfed, the whole mountain was, with smoke and fire and thunder, and he was up there for a long time. And so the Israelites have a little sympathy for them. Because here they are, they had been delivered from Egypt. Moses, their leader, the mediator between God and them, seems like he's gone. And here they seem like they're trapped. They're trapped between having to go back to Egypt, which they knew, or having to remain in this wilderness with no one to lead them. And so what do they do in the midst of this? They turn back to what they know. They build the golden idol, the Egyptian god Apis. Why? Because this god, which is not just this little image, this golden calf that they set up, these idols aren't just fake things that people worship. They have real spiritual demonic power. And so they turn to this Egyptian god of Apis, who is known as the mediating deity between the other gods and humanity. The Israelites were desperate to have some god with them because they felt like Yahweh had abandoned them. And so they turned to Apis. And in the worship of Apis, they rose up in revelry, in all sorts of lewd acts, because this is what this Apis demanded of them. And so Moses comes down, he has the idol destroyed, and what does he have them do? He grinds the idol down into gold, into powder, and he has them consume this false god. He makes them consume this false god, who they believed to be the mediator between the other gods and humanity. Do you see the connection with that? That all of that is the inverse of what Jesus will be. And what we receive today then, because how does it end up for the Israelites? They're not singing this song of praise to God as the three Jewish youth were. Instead, it ends with wailing and lament and death and slaughter. Because they were at a point where our God delivered us from Egypt. Oh no, we're in this corner. God will let us perish. He's going to let us perish. Let's turn back to this old God we knew. This is the human heart. This is the fallen human heart. How strong is our faith? Like, how far do we have to be pushed until we're like, you know what? God's not with us anymore. He's not with me. I don't know why, but he's abandoned me. But if not, we will remain faithful because we know God will not allow us to perish. And so Moses goes back up the mountain and he pleads mercy with God. And he begs him, Lord God, be with us. Be with your people. Do not abandon us, but be with us. But then you jump to the gospel, and this is John proclaiming that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. That here's Moses begging, Lord, don't abandon us. Be with us. We need you or we will perish. And here's God sending his son, his very being, to be with us for eternity. That such is the Lord's faithfulness. It's who he is. The Trinity, which we celebrate this Sunday, This is the deepest reality. It's the deepest reality in everything. And it's the deepest doctrine of the church as well. But it's the simplest truth. The Trinity speaks a simple truth. God was never alone. He has always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because of this, you are never alone. You are never alone. For God is with us. He has sent his only Son that we might receive him into our very being. He has sent his Holy Spirit that our whole spirit might be brought into the Trinitarian life. The more we allow God to be our Savior, to have the confident faith that he is with me, he will deliver me from this, whatever it is I'm facing. But if not, I will remain faithful because he will not allow me to perish. Because even if I die, I'm reborn into eternal life. The more we allow God to be our Savior in that way, and the more we live that truth, the more we understand who God is. He will deliver me. But if not, I will remain faithful because I will not perish. But instead, my whole life then becomes one of giving praise to him, giving praise to God for who he is and what he has done now and in eternity.